My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks Podcast, and this is a big show because we have a brand new pickup truck in the world.
That's right. It is a worldwide release.
Yes, we're talking about the next generation all-new Ford Ranger. So in this show, we're going to give you all the specifications, everything we know and we have from Ford so far for this global truck, and also talk about some of the competitors and what they're doing.
Yeah, but before we do that, there's two things we have to do, Andre.
A couple things, probably. Yeah, several.
Yeah, actually,
several. Yeah. So what's the first one?
Well, the first one is a lot of people right now are suffering from an overdose of tryptophan. The chemical somehow comes out of turkeys, I hear.
Yeah.
And you are slowly able to sit up and you're near the bathroom a lot. I totally get it. I'm there with you all the time. But seriously, happy Thanksgiving. We really do truly wish you a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And
a happy Black Friday.
And happy Black Friday. I apologize for those of you who have to suffer with that. But we also want to talk about our supporters for Patreon.
Yes, exactly. We always appreciate your support. It's huge. We have probably about 300 of you who are donating to our podcast and our show. It's patreon.com/TFLcar. It's our only Patreon page.
Right.
We really appreciate your help. And of course, yes, happy holidays. And also, this is our 95th episode of TFL Talking Trucks.
Far out.
So we are pushing 100 episodes soon.
Very good. Yeah. And it's all thanks to Andre.
Oh, and you.
Not so much.
Rowan, but and all of our guests.
Actually, it's thanks to all our team. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes who help us out. So on this Thanksgiving, thank you to our entire crew who have to deal with us, which, good for them.
Absolutely. So this new Ranger actually came out in the rest of the world. So the information that we have here actually comes from Ford Australia. And, of course, this new truck is not the one, if you're watching this, the one you're seeing. It's not a U.S. spec truck, but we have all the information and all the different, interior bits and technology that's coming to this truck will probably be shared across the globe.
Right.
But this particular truck is a world truck that's not going to be on sale here.
So what you're seeing is something that is going to be very similar to the truck that we're getting, very similar, but there will be design elements that will be countrywide specific. So in other words, there could be a different bumper design, there could be slightly different headlight design, something like that. But for the most part, what you are looking at is pretty much what we're going to be getting.
And probably different powertrains, because as across the world, there are different requirements. requirements for emissions.
Yeah, we're not going to be getting a diesel.
Yes. And in fact, the Australian market specifically is not getting one diesel. They're getting three diesels.
That's right.
That's insane. I mean, so there you have. You have a lot of choice. So let's start with this new Ranger. Obviously, the previous Ranger has been a little bit long in the tooth.
Yeah.
It's been around the world. It's been introduced in the U.S., basically Americanized version of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gasoline turbocharged engine.
Yeah, that comes standard with a 10-speed automatic transmission. And before we go any further, I have to say that's still one of the quickest trucks that we've tested in its class. And it's one of the best towing trucks in its class that we've tested.
So they've taken that chassis, basically the midsize chassis, and they did two inch or three very interesting things with the way it's sized.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the overall dimensions are approximately the same,
mm-hmm.
Although Ford didn't specify all the numbers. They were kind of a little bit more high level with this debut
right.
of this truck. But the overall dimensions, like the crew cab with a shorter bed and the extended cab, shorter cab with a longer bed, that's about the same as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But they extended the wheelbase itself by 2 inches.
Interesting.
So what they're saying is they pushed the front wheels forward about 2 inches. And that's kind of peculiar. But they did it, they said, because they wanted slightly better approach angle. So the nose is actually shorter.
Okay.
So they pushed those front wheels all the way out. And then they made the entire truck, the track width of the wheels and tires, about 2 inches wider than before.
So it's almost the size of a full-size truck now.
It's getting close.
It's getting close.
So remember, although in many countries around the world, including Australia, they don't get the F-150.
Right.
They don't get the Super Duty.
Yeah, right.
They don't get the Maverick even.
Mm.
So this is kind of their only choice for truck, for
right.
pickup, or a ute.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, right now in the United States, we only have a few flavors of Ford Ranger because really it's one engine, one power train altogether. You can get a couple different four-wheel drive systems. There's two cab configurations, I believe, two bed configurations
yes.
as well.
Yes.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, there's not a lot of variation there. So for us, getting a new one is big news, especially with all these new dimensions. I did not know that they stretched out the wheelbase an additional 2 inches. That might make for a better ride.
Yeah, so better ride overall. So also making it wider, there's a couple of things at play here. So first of all, there is and this is official, VW is working with Ford
yeah.
on this shared midsize chassis for the VW Amarok mm-hmm. pickup truck and also this new Ranger.
Right.
So the folks at Volkswagen and Ford are working together, and they both have requirements, right? Volkswagen has some of their own requirements for this truck,
right.
what it needs to do. Ford is bringing their expertise, right? And they're collaborating. So the rumor was that VW wanted it a little bit wider because VW, the biggest powertrain choices, the most popular ones, are the V6s
mm-hmm.
for Volkswagen. So they wanted to put a V6 diesel in this truck for global markets, and making it wider helped just to fit the engine in a little bit better. And also bigger radiator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can put a bigger grill on it and get more air through it. So that's one of the choices for the wider chassis. The other one, VW is rumored, or this is a rumor, that VW asked Ford to be able to put wider objects in the bed.
Hmm.
You know, we all talk about 4x8 sheets of plywood.
Right, right.
Pallets. Ford did not specify specific measurements, once again, but they made the bed a little bit wider so you can put more stuff in there.
Wow. Okay. So they're basically, it's larger in many dimensions.
Yeah.
We've heard about the Volkswagen rumors for years, and a lot of them are facts. They are working with Ford. We do know that for sure. We do know that there are different requirements. But one thing that I'm curious about, and I bet you guys out there are as well, will Volkswagen sell the Amarok here in the United States?
And we don't know this yet. So
we don't know.
They haven't announced officially. It's very possible because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that this relationship gives them is that they could produce this truck on the same factory line.
Right.
So the global truck, for example, for Australia, It's built in a couple of different world areas, like Thailand and South Africa.
Right.
Of course, American Ranger is built in Michigan.
Right.
But there's nobody to say that they cannot build an Amarok in Michigan also.
Right. And Volkswagen also has their own plants in the United States as well. So it's entirely possible that they'll be able to get around chicken tax and some other import difficulties by building in the United States, which makes sense.
Yeah.
The question is, how different would it be than the Rangers so they don't cross-pollinate, so they don't really compete against each other? And there's almost no way that they wouldn't compete in some way against each other. So it would be interesting to see whether or not Ford and Volkswagen have some sort of agreement about them building the vehicle and selling it here.
That's going to be very interesting. I would want to be a fly on the wall in those meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is complicated. Well, you know who else does this, right? GM.
Right.
They have the Colorado and Chevy Colorado and the GMC Canyon.
Right.
And they don't want to cannibalize each other, right, either.
But they do a little bit. We know
and of course they do.
Yeah.
Right. But the GMC is like the more luxurious one, right? A little bit nicer. The Colorado is a little bit more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how Ford and VW are going to be playing in this area.
Yeah, we should find out soon, though.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. There are many new design elements, of course. The front end is all new. The rear taillights and the tailgate is new. Some other design elements. A lot of you have already been writing comments on our website and our social media. A lot of you are put off by the front end. A lot of you don't like it.
Really?
This is just what people are saying. They do like some of the base models of the new Ranger. So let us know in the comments below if you have some pictures in front of you and some video. Which Ranger do you prefer? Let me just show people. For example, here's one of the base models. If you're watching this on YouTube, TFL Talk channel, you can also see this. So people appreciate this more work-ready option of it over some of the more luxe options.
Interesting. Well, the difference here, for those of you who are not able to see this, is that the grill and the headlight design is a little bit more simplistic. There's less black there. Also, the shape of the headlights are completely different, actually.
Yeah.
So it's almost the same difference between some of the modern F-150s, where you look at the XLTs and all that, and then you go up to the high-end ones.
Different, you know, LED lights versus LED lights. Yeah.
So it's interesting that Ford went and did that with the Ranger. I actually like the steel wheels.
Yeah, the Steelies on the XL models.
Yeah, I think it looks really good.
And also, there's a lot of variants. Obviously, they announced 5 different trim levels for Australia. I'm assuming there'll be multiple trims around the world.
Yeah, including the United States. Absolutely.
Yeah. And another little design element, and which is I found interesting, is that they put the center brake light inside the tailgate. And they were saying that this is because of accessories or cargo in your bed. You know, because you have to have a third brake light.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And if you're putting it on the back of the cab, if you're putting like a sports bar up there or a truck topper or something else, or you're carrying big objects in your bed, you're blocking your taillight. So they put it inside of the handle of the tailgate, so you have a third brake light right there.
But what if you're driving with the tailgate down?
That's a great question.
Asked a great question.
You know who else does this?
So,
Jeep Gladiator.
Yeah.
Because the Gladiator has a removable top.
Yeah.
So they also went with this solution. So maybe if the tailgate is down, maybe you can still see that light. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to find out when we get it. You know what's really weird?
Mm.
Australian hands look exactly the same as American hands. Look at that. That one picture.
And their jackets are similar.
Yeah, sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't know what a Waltzing Matilda does. It's a type of drink as well, I hear. But let's move on. That is cool, by the way. Now, what Andre is showing right now, once again, for those of you who are not able to see, is the workbench tailgate, essentially, which is available with F-150, and now it's going to be available with the Ranger. And this is huge because I'm one of those dudes who works with a tailgate all the time.
Yeah, and I do too, because my garage is usually filled
That's exactly
with,
why.
With things.
Right.
And the tailgate is always useful. So what Ford did, and this was in their press release as well, they chose, you know, kind of best of around the world, you know, things that worked for customers around the world, and they kind of put it in one package. So yes, so there will be a power outlet in the bed, although they didn't say what wattage or
I'm
how many
curious
watts.
About that, yeah.
So we're curious about that. Also, when they announced powertrains for this Australian Ranger, they only mentioned diesels. They did not mention electrification, hybrids, or anything, or any gas engines for that matter. But they did say the wider track will allow for future-proofing it and offering other powertrains. So they were teasing us, but they didn't say.
So in other words, there'll be more room for a battery or something like that.
Or more room for other V6s.
Right.
For example, it would be nice to get the twin-turbo gas V6 in there as well.
Oh, it would be awesome to get that in there. Yeah. That thing would become a beast.
So yeah, that would be very, very cool. So the bed has a lot of useful features, like you were saying. It has the clamps in the tailgate. It got additional tie-downs. They've got the little, you know, where you could put dividers in, right? All that stuff.
Yeah, and it's just so useful. You go to the work site or the campsite or whatever, you're able to drop the bed and immediately throw in clamps, have areas that you can level off and have a good workspace. Andre, before we go any further, something crossed my mind. Now, a lot of people thought that when the Bronco came out, the big Bronco, that eventually some of that would move back over to the Ranger and Ranger would start getting beefier, crazy suspensions and lifts and all that other stuff. With this new platform, I'm wondering, because now it's wider, beefier axles, stuff like that. It sounds like it could be a possibility.
It could be. And we've seen some prototypes, which are a little bit higher sitting.
Yeah.
So they have suspension lifts, wider tracks, bigger tires.
I noticed the wider tracks.
They did not announce any of this.
Right.
Officially. But here's the thing. By looking very carefully at all these images, and I stayed up till 1 a.m.
sure
last night looking.
A lot of red balloons.
So first of all, this World Ranger has leaf springs in the rear, which surprised me.
Yeah, me too.
Because I thought there was a trend to going to coil springs.
Yeah, we're seeing it with other automakers.
Toyota and others are doing this. Jeep has coil springs. They didn't do it for this model. It doesn't mean that American version will be the same. Right?
That is correct.
So we cannot say that right now. But what it does mean also is that in Michigan at the Wayne facility, they're building the Bronco currently with the Ranger side by side.
Right.
So why can't they share some components like you're saying?
That's exactly my point.
Yeah. So that could be really wonderful if the Raptor version of the Ranger would have, you know, could they put 35s under it?
Could
I don't know.
Could they put the 7-speed manual transmission in it?
Oh, my God.
Lockers? Why not?
Ooh.
I mean, they already have lockers for the rear on the FX4 package.
Yeah, and this new Ranger as
well. So I'm curious if they decide to do something with the front. So there's a lot of possibilities out there. And what we're seeing right now is a major refresh, though, in the interior as well. So why don't we go on to that?
Yeah, huge. And speaking of Bronco and interiors, Ford is using a lot of technology from the Bronco and the F-150 in this new Ranger. But this big screen, so they went horizontal orientation. This is portrait orientation, 12-inch screen.
Just like the Ram.
Yeah, reminds me of the Ram 1500 right there. But this is the first use for the new midsize segment of this large screen. They did something really helpful, I thought, where they put the HVAC air conditioning and heating controls as separate hard controls below the screen.
I am very grateful for that. I do not like having digital controls for the HVAC systems.
Because, you know, you're balancing off-road or something, you're trying to adjust.
Or what if the screen fails? Or, I mean, there's so many other things.
Yada, yada. So they also have drive modes, very similar to the Bronco. You know, we're talking about like towing, sport, eco, slippery, sand. So all those drive modes are going to be available. There's going to be a digital gauge cluster as well. So it's very, very similar to what F-150 and the Bronco has done already. And to some extent, even the Maverick, right? The Maverick doesn't have the big screens.
But
some of the technology is similar.
Right.
Also Sync 4, the Sync 4 system that's currently in the F-150 is also going to be in this new Ranger, which means over-the-air updates.
That's good.
Once again, if you're seeing some of these images, 360-degree cameras, which is, of course, everybody at the premium trim levels now has these. And this is very helpful off-road as well. And also, let me show you another image. They're introducing several different four-wheel drive systems. with also four-wheel drive auto.
That's great, because there's competitors who have four auto.
Yeah, and which basically means the four-wheel drive transfer case is able to be in this automatic mode, where it's mostly rear-wheel drive, but it can adjust power dynamically.
Yeah, it'll become reactive in terms of when you need traction, it'll throw it up front.
Yeah, and especially in the bush of Australia, that should be very useful.
It is, especially when you're waltzing with Matilda. Australia.
But 4Low, of course, is available. It's, after all, a body-on-frame truck.
I'm curious if you have to go into neutral in order to engage 4Low on this one.
Most likely. And they kept a little console shifter.
Yeah.
So it's, they call it e-shifter because it's really electronic.
Right.
There is no mechanical connections.
But there, at least it's a shifter as opposed to a dial, which is what they have in the Maverick, which is one of the few things I don't like about the Maverick.
So that's all there. Yeah, and they have different, of course, screen options. There's going to be a 10-inch display, 12-inch display.
Yeah, the door cards look different too.
Yeah, and you know how the Maverick, they've done these different textures?
Yeah.
Right, for plastics and some of their soft touches. We don't know exactly what all the interiors look like. Right now we're showing you the Wildtrak, which is one of their most upper trim levels. But it looks, you know, nice stitching, you know, nice kind of materials throughout.
Yeah, it looks like it's a really nice execution. Ford, over the past, I'd say, 3 years, has gone from being the worst interiors to very competitive interiors when it comes to their trucks. So they really have moved in the right direction. And now, finally, they brought the Ranger into the game, because the Ranger, really, that was one of its weakest points, I thought, was the interior was okay, but it was a lot of cheap materials, and it didn't look like it was designed as nicely as some of the other competitors. Now, it's much better looking, at least from this standpoint, from this view. So we'll
see. I agree, because even when they brought it to the U.S., right, they refreshed it a little, but all the, you know, kind of designs were the same, right? And this goes back 10 years. So it was a very aging interior.
It felt very dated in terms of the interior. It's a perfectly functional interior, don't get me wrong. It was just, compared to some of the other ones out there, just not quite as cool, I thought, and not as pleasing to the touch, frankly. So let's move on.
Yeah, so they really, you know, they're throwing out down the gauntlet, right?
Yeah, they really are.
So, and this is going to be, like we said, a world truck. So a lot of these elements will transfer to the U.S. and other markets. The U.S. version is probably several months away still before we see it, because Ford is very busy. You know, they're still trying to, you know, to catch up on the Bronco production. Their Lightning truck is coming out. I mean,
Maverick is saturating.
Maverick, and they need to build that, right?
Yeah.
The Maverick Hybrid, you know, was slightly delayed.
Yep.
So they're still very, very busy. So introducing a new truck is probably going to take a few months.
Yeah. Now, recently we heard from almost every automaker saying that this is the low point, and they're now everybody's starting to catch up with production. It's not an official announcement. It's just what they've all mentioned. So hopefully we'll see this Ranger before too long. We've seen a lot of test mules running around, a lot.
Yeah, and yes, so it does have many fancy features. I heard some rumblings at the LA Auto Show as well from the insiders, not official statements, but they're saying they're hopeful for the future, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're kind of starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some of the component shortages are, you know, we could see the runway and we can see kind of where that's going to be coming to fruition.
Right. Now, this one picture that Andre brought up, once again, for those of you who are not able to watch, shows all the different trim levels available in Australia. And what you're able to clearly see is there's a major difference in terms of the look between the lower trim models and the upper trim models. And that really comes from the front end. So the front end design, you may think you're looking at two completely different trucks. They're that different.
So there's also another element I really wanted to focus on, which could be controversial. Ford introduced their own version of a rear bed step.
I love it.
Yes, so it's a great concept. So, of course, some of you may say, wait a minute, GM has put steps into their rear bumpers for years.
Yep, this is a slightly different spot.
Yeah, so what Ford decided to do is not putting it into the bumper. They put it right behind the rear wheel into the bed side. So there's actually a foothold where you can actually jump in there, put your foot in there, and actually climb into the bed.
Yeah, Every automaker, truck maker, I should say, that does some sort of step, I really do appreciate. You know, a lot of people out there don't understand that it's really hard to get into the bed of most pickup trucks today. Really.
They're getting bigger.
Yeah, I mean, everything, including the Ranger and all the vehicles it competes against. So having something that you can kind of step up into, reach up and over and grab something out of from the side really is a nice thing to have. And almost everybody makes something now that has some sort of step or something like that. So this is a welcome idea. And I think it's a really cool place to put it, too. Because it's not going to get in the way of the sensors or anything.
Yeah, it doesn't get in the way of the sensors. It doesn't affect your departure angle.
Right.
Right, because it's not hanging off the rear bumper.
Right.
And I'm hoping they would introduce it to other trucks as well. They were saying obviously there's different requirements across the world.
Right.
Australians called beds trays. You know,
and they also call these trucks utes.
Yes. So, but I'm really happy that they decided to make the step. But what I'm not happy about, Nathan, is that the XL version of it doesn't have it. So if you look at the XL version, it doesn't have it.
Which is the work truck.
Yeah. So which needs it.
You need it. Yeah.
And I'm also glad it's not movable step. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes movable steps get hung up or jammed.
Yeah, with like mud and stuff like that. We've seen
snow,
it.
Right? And also sometimes they don't work. Yeah. So this is a perfect solution.
Yeah, this is a really good idea. I hope that if Ford decides to do this with the American versions, they make it standard across the line. That would make them super competitive right out of the gate. Now, I know some of you are like, well, wait a minute. Don't they have that bumper, tailgate that drops and then the step? Yeah, that's the F-150. They don't have that available for the Ranger, as far as I know.
Right, no, they don't. And also that step is cumbersome. It's heavier.
Yeah.
Right? It makes the truck heavier.
It does.
So why not just do this?
This is a very simple solution that will help out some people. We know some people who are really, really short and have a hard time as it is just simply reaching into a truck. So this could help. So I really like that idea. That's a great one.
Yeah. So like we were mentioning, the Australian truck will have three diesel engines, a 2-liter diesel single turbo, a 2-liter 4-cylinder diesel twin turbo, and also a turbocharged V6 diesel, which is a 3-liter, mm-hmm. which is a resurrection.
It's the same one that
F-150 diesel. Yeah. So, but the Australian market and some others are really focused on diesel still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a local thing. It's a regional thing.
It is. And diesels, frankly, run fairly cheap and they have great range and good torque. So, I mean, there's lots of reasons to like it. Unfortunately, it just doesn't seem to be working out well in the United States. I think and it's still for sale, the only vehicle in this class that offers a diesel. No, two vehicles.
Currently two, yes.
Is GM with their 4-cylinder diesel and then Jeep with their Eco diesel,
yes,
V6.
The V6, yeah.
Yeah, and both of those, you know, you have to pay a pretty penny in order to get them, which is a shame.
And Ford tried to introduce their 2-liter diesel in the Transit van,
yeah,
and also the Transit Connect, the smaller
and
diesel.
And that just disappeared overnight.
And they announced it, and they never actually almost came to market. I've never seen one in person.
Yeah, and they never made an announcement of getting rid of it. It just kind of slowly and quietly
it
went
disappeared.
Away.
It right. disappeared. And so for the U.S. market especially, we're seem to be leaning, and it has to be with the regulations.
Of course,
as well.
It does. And so many people recently, FCA, well, former FCA, they got hit with yet another fine that they're starting to work with in order to clean up all their diesel issues with their half-ton trucks.
Yeah, so we're seemingly moving into the hybrid realm with gas engines. As
yeah.
Well. So I don't expect a diesel Ranger appearing in the U.S.
Yeah, but you just said hybrid, and I think, and you think, that they'll at some point in time have maybe not a plug-in hybrid Ranger, but I think at the very least a hybrid version of the Ranger makes sense.
Yeah, well, because they're 10-speed automatics in the F-150,
mm-hmm.
that transmission is modular.
Right.
So if you have a rear-wheel drive platform like the Ranger, like the Ford Explorer that also has a hybrid,
mm-hmm.
kind of makes sense.
It does.
It's going to be expensive, but it's going to be efficient and powerful. And all the benefits.
Well, how much was your hybrid over, the regular?
So for the work F-150 truck, which is mine, it was $5,000.
Okay.
Because you're going from a standard V6 non-turbo.
Right.
All the way to a twin-turbo hybrid. So that's a lot of money to invest.
It is, but you're also jumping over a couple steps. You know, that's over the twin-turbo.
You're jumping over a V8.
The Coyote and all that.
You're jumping over a lot of engines,
so, actually. But still, that is a lot of money to pay. So the question would be, of course, if they decide to make a hybrid version of the Ranger, which I think, seriously, is something that we're going to see in the future in some form, the question would be, how much of a premium is that going to be? I suspect, like other companies, prices for hybrids will come down progressively as EPA requirements get closer and closer. In other words, Andre, you probably paid too much. But
I was the first. I ordered one of the first F-150 hybrids.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm going to pay a lot.
But you're already making up a lot of money with the – your mileage is ridiculously good. So, everything – yeah, and you love that truck except for hitting
trees
with it.
Well, plus it was also a business thing, right?
Yeah.
We want to do videos with it, and we want to show how it works.
Yeah.
So, it's been good.
Yeah. It's a great truck. But once again, I think that's something. But there's been no announcements from Ford. They now have two trucks officially with hybrid powertrains, and that goes, a pickup crossover, I guess you could say. That would be the Maverick, and that's actually a vehicle I'm driving right now, and I really like it. And then, of course, there's Andre's truck. So, you know, would they go over or even possibly electrify the Ranger? I think that time will tell, but it's going to be a short amount of time. We're going to see this new Ranger very soon.
I would say within a year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe by Thanksgiving time next year in 2022, it might be on dealer lots.
It might be.
That's my hunch. That's just a hunch.
Now that they've done the official, you know, reveal in Australia, they have to reset a little bit. It's going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to get an official unveil here in the United States. And I'm guessing, this is just a guess, there's no quotes, Ford hasn't announced anything, but I think that by the end of the first quarter of 2022, we should have some more information on the new Ranger for the United States. I think it's a fair guess.
Yeah, that's, you know, we'll see how the world progresses, right?
And right.
Shortages, etc. So I want to talk a little bit about competition, right? Because
please,
next year is really going to be the year of the midsize truck in the U.S. specifically, mm-hmm. as well.
There's only going to be one major company that's not playing that should be playing in that pool.
Stellantis, we're looking at you.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the Jeep, and they'd probably say that because the Jeep. You know, Gladiator technically is considered a midsize truck, but it's not really. So we'll go.
I was looking at Ram, really. Ram.
Yeah, I know. They really need to bring it back. It's a Dakota.
Something smaller than the Ram 1500.
And we know that they have the tech to do it. We know that they have the backing to do it. So, yeah.
Well, we'll see what they're doing.
Yeah.
You and Roman recently did a video about a prototype one of our viewers saw in Las Vegas, which was a Tacoma, right?
That is correct.
It was the next generation of the Tacoma. They're already testing it, which is a good sign.
That's a really good sign.
That it's coming maybe within a year or a little bit longer.
Yeah, there are people out there, experts, who have projected that we'll see the Sequoia and then after that the Tacoma. That's what they think the progression will be. And if that's the case, well, we've seen an awful lot of stuff hidden, and the stuff that hidden is actually the stuff that makes us kind of scratch our heads. So what is the Tacoma going to be? There has been no announcements about anything, except we do know it's going to have a new platform. They have announced that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's a question of, do they keep the old V6? I sincerely doubt it. Do they keep the old transmissions? I sincerely doubt it. I think they're going to go the Ford route, and they're going to go to a...
Turbocharging.
Yeah, they're going to go turbocharging. I think they're going to go 10-speed like they have in their Tundra. And this is a guess. This is a guess, by the way. No, they didn't say anything about it. Mm. And another guess is that the four-cylinder turbo, and they have a couple to choose from. So they do have those engines, and they're fairly efficient. So what we do know is that in those photos, if you recall, they were deliberately obscuring views of the rear end, specifically the rear suspension. Why? We guess, and I think it's a fairly good guess, that they're going to go to coil springs in that truck, meaning just like the big boy, the Tundra, mm-hmm. switching over from leafs to coils. It makes a lot of sense. It's usually good for ride improvement, overall off-road capability, too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, really some articulation.
Exactly. So there's a lot going on there. Also, if indeed they are doing this truck, which, you know, yes, on different frame. So the old frame had, it was partially boxed, and then it was open seat channel pretty much from the right in the back of the cab all the way back, right?
Kind of, and they called it kind of the triple flex frame, which had like three different constructions, like you said, you know, boxed and slightly open and then like a C channel.
Yeah.
So, and they weren't literally flexing.
Yeah, that was their reason. That this is what they said. You can yell at us or whatever, but that's what they said. And a lot of people out there said, it doesn't make any sense. Everybody's going boxed frame. It's better for, you know, safety, and it's better for overall rigidity and all that. So we, given that Toyota did say that they were building their next series of trucks, including the Tacoma, on the new TNGAF.
Exactly, yeah.
Frame. That it would be most likely fully boxed and, well, a completely different frame. So, stronger platform, most likely different engine transmission setup, and we suspect it's going to have a larger, more comfortable cab. One of my biggest complaints with Tacoma, the cab has never been very comfortable for large people, and I mean tall people too. Mm-hmm. So, this setup, this new one, hopefully we'll address that issue as well. It looks bigger to me, but it was also covered with a ton of camouflage.
Oh, my God. It looked like a marshmallow that was
really
charred.
Yes. You could not tell what was under there.
No, yeah, a lot of cladding still, obviously. They're very protective, like you said, of their new prototypes always. And it's coming. Probably within a year, we should see something.
That's what I suspect.
And now they have a target. The new Ranger is straight in their sights. Here's one view of the Tacoma prototype. Once again, it looks like a four-door, maybe a slightly shorter four-door cab.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it looks sizable, but it has a lot of camo hanging off of it.
Yeah, I mean, and for good reason. I really don't want you to know what it looks like yet. But there are a couple things we can even get off this image. That is that the front end is going to be a little bit more upright. We suspect that it's going to look a lot like the Tundra, which makes sense. You know, they
Bigger
are brothers.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, the Tundra and the Tacoma really didn't look like each other. But one of the things it appears that Americans like with the study groups that these guys have run, and all these companies do study groups, is that they're doing some sort of family resemblance throughout the fleet. You just saw that with Ford, as you could saw before. The new Ranger is going to look a lot more like the F-150. Other trucks like the Nissan, which we're going to cover in a second, that one looks a little bit like its big brother, a little bit.
The Titan, yep.
Yeah, but here is something very interesting. So right now we know for a fact that there are new vehicles also coming from General Motors.
Yeah, and we've seen prototypes across the country.
And this thing looks beefy. Look at the ZR2. This thing looks like it's an animal.
It's ripping out of its camouflage.
It looks like it wants to trounce. And look at that front end. So the front end design on a ZR2 Chevrolet, Colorado, has always been really aggressive. The reason why is so it has much better approach angle. The bumper is specially designed so you can...
It's really cut.
Yeah, it's cut. It's just an awesome design, especially for a factory-built truck. This one looks even more aggressive in terms of its approach angle. It looks even higher to me. Although the tires look like they might be about the same size as the current model, which we all agree might be a little bit small.
Yeah, and I think they actually upsized the tire by 1 inch.
You think
according to the prototypes. I think the new Colorado ZR2 might be riding on 33s.
Good.
It was like 32 before.
Right, right.
So that helps.
Duratrax,
right? Yeah, and I think they might be switching to Territory tires because you could see also, this is on TFLtruck.com, by the way, as well. You could see the next prototype next to the previous truck. So you can see for comparison reasons what they look like. And once again, the dimensions are about the same, very similar to what Ranger did with Ford with Ranger. Once again, new styling, new interiors, new suspension technologies, et cetera, et cetera.
We're hearing that the front end will, once again, look a little bit more like its bigger brother, so it'll probably have the squinty eye design of the modern Chevrolet Silverado. And it might actually look a little bit more like the Silverado ZR2. So that truck is a much more aggressive version of the regular Silverado, of course, and so it makes sense they would do something like this. But when I'm looking at the truck, I can really see a major difference in terms of how much space there is in the wheel wells, which is actually a good thing for articulation. If the Chevrolet is serious, and I think they are, this might be two or three steps ahead of its current ZR2, which is an absolutely fabulous off-road truck.
And an animal.
It's already an animal, yeah. Right.
And also there's a rumor, and this is just a rumor for GM, is that they're also switching to turbocharging.
Right, the
2.7. The 2.7, yeah.
Yeah, that's a beast.
So the rumor is that they're going to retire the V6. Mm-hmm. They're going to retire the diesel also in the U.S.
Right.
Which is, of course, sad for diesel enthusiasts. But they're going to have an amazing 2.7-liter gas turbo engine.
This is not confirmed. This is a rumor.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. But they have it in the Silverado.
Right. So, and it recently was seriously improved.
Yeah. And they upped the torque in a serious way. And it has a lot of horsepower, 310 horse. So it will match wonderfully against anything that Ford may throw at their Ranger or Toyota, for that matter, that they throw at the Tacoma.
Now, as far as we know, that's as far as they're going to go. Electrification, just like we talked about with Ford, is entirely possible. General Motors does have the tech for it, but we haven't heard anything with General Motors working on any type of new hybrid system for any of their trucks, really, other than what they've done in the past. So no rumors about that, but everything I'm seeing with this ZR2, and remember, one of the things we love to do and what I love to do at TFL, off-roading. Off-road trucks are my jam, and that, what it's going to do is it's going to force Ford and Stellantis, I guess, to up their game. And Stellantis will respond, Ford will respond, and this is good for you guys because it makes everything more accessible, possibly cheaper, and better tech. All of that's going to happen because of stuff like this.
And by the way, Ford Ranger in Australia did not announce pricing, mm-hmm. So we don't have that yet.
Yeah, sorry.
Obviously, all this stuff is still a little bit ahead of its time.
Right.
We just wanted to bring it to you right away because it's really important. It just came out a few hours ago.
That's correct. So yeah. this is very new news. Granted, you're seeing it a couple of days after we did this. But a couple other things just to quickly before we wrap this up. So those are the big trucks in terms of that we know that are coming out. We already know, and we've already driven the new Nissan Frontier, mm-hmm. which is a really good truck. But once again, like Ford, currently only one engine, one transmission option. They got rid of their manual transmission, so they have the 9-speed hooked up to their V6. Very powerful combination. So far, proving to be a very smooth and competent truck. We'll be getting another one in the very near future to do testing with for towing and whatnot. Because Andre, the man, is putting together a top truck competition for TFL, and that is one of the competitors.
Yeah, TFL Top Truck Challenge is coming in December.
Can you imagine if they came out like this? Sorry to interrupt.
So the Frontier, so they're doing a couple things, right? They're introducing also their Nismo off-road parts.
Yes.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the ZR2. We talked about the potential Raptor.
Right.
Right, for the Ranger. We talked about Tacoma will likely have a TRD Pro.
We expect it to have one.
Nissan needs something in this space.
Right.
And they already have a great four-wheel drive system.
Mm-hmm.
But why not give it a small lift still over the Pro 4X?
Right.
Using Nismo parts, which they now have. Bam! Now you have maybe something like a Warrior, like a little Frontier Warrior truck.
Exactly. Now, we recently covered on TFLoffroad.com the Rebel Rally, and what Nissan did was they actually had a team that competed using, and it's actually on the one that's right behind Andre. If you can't see it, it's the old livery put on a new truck. So from the 80s, they had this really cool off-road livery used for racing trucks, which was red, white, and blue. They are using it again on this particular truck, but more importantly, they're using Nismo components on this truck as well. So it's a way to sort of debut these components. So for those of you who are Nissan Frontier enthusiasts, you can go in, if you can find one of these trucks, but if you can go in and you can actually take these components, which are directly from the factory, and put them on your
dealership,
truck.
Yeah.
And dealership installed, put them on your truck. You can get a lift, you can get other components, and we feel it's a good suspicion that Nissan will come up with an even more capable version of the Frontier over their Pro 4X.
Yeah, they're just launching it. It's the new truck, what's been in the dealership for 2 to 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And I actually see them quite a bit around Colorado.
There's one right down the street from me now.
Yeah, I saw one yesterday at the restaurant I was by. So, yeah, they're getting them out, and this just makes the midsize truck segment even wilder than it ever has been.
Yeah, you know, everybody has their strengths. And one thing that Nissan's doing, which a lot of the guys don't seem like they're doing for the future, is they're sticking to a big V6, 3.8-liter V6, which is, by the way, a brand new, pretty much bespoke engine right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I talked to some of the Nissan engineers and product developers, and they said it has new parts because the GTR sports car has a 3.8-liter V6.
Yeah, they're not.
And I said, are you taking the sports car engine? They're like, no. This is kind of bespoke because it needs low-end grunt.
Right.
Right, not high horsepower.
But also,
like
that's
a
hand-built engine for the GTR.
And it's also twin turbocharged.
Yeah.
So this is not turbocharged.
No.
But I think Nissan needs to think about other more fuel-efficient choices, right?
I agree.
Definitely, because everybody else is trying to get there as well.
Yeah, and Nissan's about to introduce their new electric Ariya that will be hitting dealerships fairly soon and will hopefully be driving one soon. So they are moving towards electricity, and they used to be on the forefront of it, but now they're kind of...
Yeah, the Leaf was the first mass-produced... Successful electric car.
Well, at least in the modern era, I should say. But anyway, the point is that this is a good truck. It's a good start, but we think that they need to update powertrains so there's more options. More importantly, more efficient options. The 3.8 is okay. It gets decent mileage, but it will most likely not be able to compete with a lot of the new guys who are coming out with even more high tech, smaller displacement powertrains. So we'll see what happens with that. And to wrap it up, Honda still has their Ridgeline. We recently tested their Ridgeline. What was it? The red one.
The HPD. Honda Performance Development.
Roman and I agreed, and Tommy, and I think you do as well. If you do compete against midsize trucks, it is the best riding, most comfortable midsize truck out there. I do not consider it a truck. I consider it what I call the other ones, which is a crossover pickup, if I can remember to say that. Meaning that it doesn't have a frame underneath it, which is a good thing for comfort, for packaging.
And also weight. It's a little bit lighter.
It is a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
And it can still tow 5,000 pounds, and it can still hold about 1,500 pounds in the bed.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
But there's no major changes other than, that HPD package, which kind of makes it look a little cooler. But it really, it's no more capable than it was without the package, seriously. So there's that. And then the little trucks, which aren't on this list, like the Maverick, the Santa Cruz, and some other upcoming vehicles that we're hearing rumors about, which we'll cover in another broadcast. So what we do have is the Ford coming out with an all-new version, or a pretty much new version, that all of the competitors are going to have to most likely up their game, which is good for you guys.
Totally. And like Nathan was mentioning, our TFL Top Truck Challenge, we're going to be actually testing trucks in December.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's going to take us a little while to produce all the videos because it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, and then it could be snow, so we can't do it on days where there's heavy snow.
A lot going on, but we will be testing the Maverick, the Santa Cruz, like you mentioned.
Yep.
The midsize trucks, which we have now the Frontier, the GMC AT4. Not the next generation truck, but the current generation truck with an off-road package.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the AT4, which is already off-road package, plus an additional just kick. Double off-roading.
Right.
So, and we have that. We have the new Tundra. We have the Ram 1500. So a lot of action is coming in the space.
Yes.
Including towing and off-roading and everything like that. And Ford just threw down the gauntlet with their interior technology. They didn't mention towing or payload, but I'm assuming they're going to maintain those
at the
numbers,
least. They're going to maintain them, right?
At least where they are. So a lot of goodness happening on this Black Friday.
That's right, guys. So one thing that you have to keep in mind is that TFL Truck will be the first or one of the first to get their hands on anything that comes our way, including hopefully this Ford Ranger very soon. Andre is...
I might have to fly to Australia.
All right. Well, you've done it before, haven't you?
Yes.
That's right. That's right. A horrible Australian
accent. Crikey. Sorry, that's Russian Australian.
That's right. So before we close, one final thing. I bet you guys are wondering, why aren't we testing heavy-duty trucks in this year's Top Truck Challenge? Which is a really good question, but it's a very simple answer. And that is that at least for this year, not a whole lot going on with new ones. All the powertrains are pretty much it's the same. And we've already tested these trucks. So what we're doing is we're going to hold off, and there's new stuff that we're expecting next year. And then next year...
Towards the end of next year.
Next year, for the next Top Truck Challenge, those new powertrains or updated trucks we'll be testing those.
And also, a lot of the trucks, there is a shortage, so they're not available. So that's another good reason.
Yeah, that's another great reason.
Not to test them. But yeah, heavy-duty trucks are probably going to be later, like next year. But the mid-sized trucks should be here sooner.
Right.
That's my take on it.
Well, they are here sooner.
Yeah.
We know that for a fact. So thank you guys for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Please be safe out there. And tune in next week, where we're going to be covering some other fantastic topics.
Yes, and tfl-studios.com is where all of our coverage in one place. Cars, motorcycles, off-road, classics. tfl-studios.com.
Yep, one simple app makes it happen. Oh, and one more thing. Please leave a comment below. We do read comments, so please let us know what you think.
Yeah, of this new Ranger.
Of this new Ranger and more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.